Hare Krishna. Okay, we've got some questions here from devotees, starting with a Jainath who goes to medical school in Texas, read Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. And he's asking, when a living entity falls down, it's said that he first takes birth as Brahma. On the other hand, it's stated, and he quotes Srimad Bhagavatam, when it says that the living entity are dispersed in the material world by Brahma. So, how to reconcile both of these statements? There are different occasions when we come into the material world. When we first come into the material world, we have the opportunity to become a Brahma, and with such an elevated consciousness to learn our lesson and go back home, back to Godhead. If we don't, then we become entangled in material existence, which means that we don't complete our cycle or our calling of returning back home, back to Godhead. Then at the time of dissolution, we enter into the body of Mahavishnu, and at the time of the next creation, we again come out, and then we no longer take birth as a Brahma, but according to our past karma, then Brahma places us in a appropriate body, and we continue like that. Bhutva bhutva praliyate, and this goes on life after life after, or creation after creation, and body after body. Next, he says, are Vishnu expansions Shakti or Shaktiman? No, they are Shaktiman. They are energetic. They are just like Krishna. They are Krishna. It is just that Krishna manifests different features, greater or lesser qualities. Because they are Shaktiman, therefore they also manifest different type of Shaktis. He says, are the 64 characteristics of Krishna mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, quote-unquote, expressions of his Satchit Ananda form? For me here, it's not the expressions that need to be clarified, but it's actually the statement of form. Some things may be expansions of Krishna's form, some things of his personality, some things of his opulence, some things of his strength, and so on. So, but they are certainly expressions, and they are certainly Satchit Ananda. According to what those qualities are, then they may vary as to what their original source is. Parasya Shakti Vividhaya Shruyate. And his last question is, how are human beings on this earth able to place satellites in orbit of the moon and other planets without the obstruction of the demigods? Well, the demigods are obstructing. What they're doing is as much as they're allowed to do by the demigods, and they're not allowed to do any more than that. Scientists perform a certain type of austerity and penance in their work and studies to get to wherever it is that they are in terms of creating different vehicles that they send into outer space. But we see that they're not able to actually really enter into the moon, Mars, or other planets, but they simply see a facsimile or an abbas, a shadow of these places. So they don't go to what's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, but they're going to some other place which is barren and nothing's there. And Srila Prabhupada would say the moon is not barren. We have descriptions of all kinds of living entities living on these heavenly planets, and that they have wonderful facilities. Why don't the scientists see those things? Because they're prohibited by the demigods. They can't see them. Their consciousness, their lack of piety, does not allow them to enter into those realms. An example we can have is, for instance, if an ant crawls on my arm, what does he know about me as a person? What does he see about me? Nothing. He just sees a very, very limited portion of me. Similarly, whatever it is that scientists see is a very limited part of reality, and the limit is determined by their piety and by their consciousness. Bharat, previously Georgina, asks, what is my opinion on chanting with a computer? Is there an app most suitable for chanting with a Maha Mantra, or is it better to get a portable harmonium? I would say it's better to get a portable harmonium. I'm not much for chanting with, I've never done it, chant with a computer or chant with an app. Part of our chanting has to do with our culture, and our culture is mridanga, kartals, harmonium, at least physical instruments. Yeah, sure, we may even use other instruments like violin or sometimes bass guitar and so on, but at least these represent some kind of instrumentation. It's a whole step to go into an entirely different culture where there are no such instruments, and we're talking about some type of machine. No, personally, I would not do that unless I was in prison or something like that. Okay, then Kish Benedict Mate asks four questions. In Bhagavad Gita, it says that one can't, unless one knows, understands Krishna's power and accepts Krishna's power, then one can't be fixed in devotional service. But Krishna's unlimited, so how are we going to be able to understand Krishna? Yes, Krishna's unlimited, but still, we should, according to our own limits, we should accept what we understand about Krishna, just like it said that Krishna's a person. Well, our conception of persons is limited by what we know a person to be. I mean, we don't even know what a demigod person is like, but we know what humans in this earth are like. So at least we should accept that personal concept rather than saying that Krishna is impersonal. What the nature or the extent of Krishna's personality is, well, even Krishna, what to speak of demigods and other living entities, are amazed by Krishna's personality. But still, what we can understand, that we should. And what can we understand? Well, what we learn from acharyas, our gurus, Vaishnavas, those things we should accept. And then we'll be fixed in devotional service. Yoman manajam manarim cha veti lok purushottama cha sarvavid bhajate mam sarva bhavina bharata. So someone who accepts, just accept these things that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, then he will be able to do bhajan properly or be fixed in devotional service. His next question is, he says, Rupa Goswami talks about chanting and remembering Krishna constantly, so how does this go on in practice? Chanting and hearing means chanting Hare Krishna and hearing and remembering Krishna, but it also means those things that are in relationship to that, or those things that facilitate that. So, for instance, Arjuna is fighting on the battlefield. He doesn't have his beads in his hand, and he's very much absorbed in shooting his divine weapons and so on. But because he's doing them to please Krishna, therefore that's in the category of chanting Hare Krishna and remembering Krishna. So those things which are directly those activities, or those things which are a consequence of those activities or facilitate them. And in that way, for instance, distributing books is chanting Hare Krishna and remembering Krishna. That's what the Prabhupada would say, yes. Well, when you're distributing books, you're talking about Krishna, take this book, this is Krishna's book. That obviously makes us think about Krishna. We don't have to be sitting down and meditating in order to achieve that. We should also know how to do that as well. But practical service will give us opportunities to do other things. Okay, two questions about relating to Madhyamadikaris. He says, how do we relate to someone who is a Madhyamadikari by qualification but doesn't have second initiation? Second initiation is a detail. The important thing is the qualification. If one has the qualification of devotion, that is what we should see. We shouldn't be overwhelmed by the fact that someone has a Brahmin thread. There's so many people in India, Brahmin thread, who are not even Kanishtha Adhikaris, what to speak of Madhyam Adhikaris. In fact, sometimes they're demons, as it's stated in Shastra. Yatra yal lakshanam proktam, Narada Muni says, we should always be able to judge Vaishnavas according to their qualifications, not according to their external demeanor. And now he asks another question. He says, well, what if I have a friendly relationship with a Madhyam Adhikari? Let's take it that the devotee who's asking the question is a Kanishtha Adhikari. I want to maintain that type of sort of friendly relationship, which is somewhat different than what Rupa Goswami suggests. He suggests more of a reverential relationship. So what's the right and wrong of all of this? Etiquette is a very important thing, and how Vaishnavas interact is very important. To respect the superior is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness, therefore, and of spiritual life. Therefore, a junior can't inaugurate any kind of intimate relationship with a superior. If a superior invites that type of relationship, then a junior can interact, but he shouldn't do so at the cost of his formal relationship. So let me clarify. For instance, there may be two Uttama Adhikaris, and they have a very friendly relationship. They have a joking relationship. They also talk about very deep spiritual subject matters. It may be, and we saw that with Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada was an Uttama Adhikari, and yet to his Kanishtha and Madhyam Adhikari disciples, he would sometimes ask their opinion on things, he would joke with them, he would be sort of very confidential with them, but Srila Prabhupada never allowed his disciples to become over familiar or take an artificial position, as would be characteristic of a Uttam Adhikari. So in the same way, whether it's from a Kanishtha to a Madhyam or a Madhyam to a Uttam, we always have to know Yatara Lakshanam Proktam, what is our position, and we have to act according to the etiquette of our position. If we get the blessing or the benediction of a more advanced devotee and they're merciful towards us, then that's their kindness, but we should not sacrifice, so we should not recognize that we're always in an inferior position, and we should always show the due respect. Otherwise, one becomes an offender. One will commit Gurur Vagya. One will become Sadhunindam. One will commit an offense. And that's why Srila Prabhupada mentions that unless one is very expert in the science of devotional exchange, then he should keep a distance, a respectful distance from advanced devotees, so that it doesn't make the mistake of thinking that just because they sometimes act in apparently ordinary ways, that they've also become ordinary. So Lord Chaitanya said, etiquette is the ornament of Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna.